Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim, and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Well, today we're going to play radio programs that became television programs. We have two in mind, of course, and the first one is Father Knows Best. This is called The Mink Coat Woes from 1954.
Stay tuned now for Robert Young, starring in Father Knows Best, which follows this listening reminder. Tomorrow evening, there's more delightful comedy fun when you set your radio dial to NBC for The Bob Hope Show and The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Bob's guest star tomorrow will be the lovely and talented Virginia Mayo. Together, they'll bring you a half hour loaded with laugh-provoking material, so be sure to listen to The Bob Hope Show. And then stay tuned for Phil Harris and Alice Faye as they bring you another mirth-quaking edition of their wonderful comedy show. Tomorrow, it's Bob Hope, Phil Harris, and Alice Faye on the NBC Radio Network. And now it's time for Father Knows Best on NBC.
Now listen to Father Knows Best, transcribed starring Robert Young as Father. Half-hour visit with the folks in the white frame house on Maple Street. Sit back and enjoy life with the Andersons, Kathy, Bud, Betty, Margaret, and Jim, as the head of this typical American household again sets out to prove that Father knows best. Now, ordinarily, a Saturday morning at the White Frame House on Maple Street is the time when the Anderson family takes a change of pace from the week's work, and the tempo of life is generally relaxed and rather easygoing. And it might have been that way this Saturday morning if daughter Betty had not come in with what sounded like a harmless piece of news. Like this.
Mother! Mother!
We're in the den, Betty.
Mother, guess what? I just came from Janie Liggett's, and guess what?
Well, what's happened now?
Princess, your mother and I are going over last month's bills. Don't tell us anything that costs money.
Well, you remember me telling you about Janie's aunt, the rich one?
That's what we need, a rich aunt.
Oh, Father, please.
All right, all right.
Janie Liggett's aunt bought a mink coat.
Well, good for her.
Oh, it's full length, clear down to here. It must have cost simply thousands.
Well, I suppose it would be nice to have a coat like that if the person could afford it.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Father, why don't you buy Mother a mink coat?
Why, sure. Next time you're downtown, honey, pick up two or three.
Oh, Father, I'm in earnest.
I'm in debt. Princess, with this stack of bills piled up here, it's not exactly the time to talk about buying a mink coat.
Don't worry, dear. I'm perfectly happy with the coat I have.
Of course, but it seems to me that any man who cared at all about his wife would at least think about buying her a mink coat.
Well, I've thought about it. But what happens when a woman gets a mink coat?
I'd have to get all new dresses to wear with it.
Oh, fiddle.
And with new dresses and a mink coat, your mother couldn't be seen riding in our 3-year-old car. We'd have to get a new car.
Oh, I give up. Every time I make a sensible suggestion, Father has to be a comedian. I'm going upstairs.
I love those sensible suggestions.
Oh, I wonder what it would be like to have a mink coat in the closet.
For that matter, we already have fur in the house. There's that neck piece of yours that we bought in Chicago. And those fur mittens of mine. I can't for the life of me see why women feel that a coat made out of the skins of a bad-tempered member of the weasel family can suddenly create a whole new pattern of life.
I didn't say that, dear. All I said was that...
Mom! Hey, Mom!
I'm in the den, Bud.
Now, where were we on these bills?
Where are you, Mom?
Oh, hi.
Hello, Bud.
Hi, Dad. You home?
down harvesting onions in Bermuda.
Oh.
Your mother and I are checking over some bills here, Bud. What is it?
Joe and I just decided something.
Well, good. Now,
we're not going to take any more money from our folks anymore.
Now, there's the brightest thought of the day.
What brings this on, Bud?
Nothing. We just decided.
And a very good decision. Let's not question it.
Though, the way it is, having an allowance, we can only spend so much and then we're broke.
Yes, this I understand.
But if we quit having an allowance and get jobs and earn our own money, then there's no limit to how much we can spend.
Well, I'm not quite sure I follow your reasoning there. But you go ahead. I'm all for it.
I don't think you can earn all your money and go to school, Bud.
Sure I can. I already got a job at Snow's Drugstore 2 afternoons a week. I'm on the board.
Switchboard?
Sandwich board. You know, ham on wheat, hold the mustard, grind a cow and hold the weepers.
Grind a cow and hold the weepers?
Hamburger, no onions. I know all that stuff, and I'll make enough to pay for everything except my lunches at school.
Well, I'll give you enough for your...
No, we're going to do this, Dad. I'm going to get another job, and that'll pay for my lunches.
All right, if you say so.
Guy's got to get used to paddling his own canoe. Hey.
What is it, Bud?
Maybe I could save up enough to buy a canoe. I'm hungry. What's in the kitchen to eat?
There's nothing out there. I looked. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Daddy.
Hello, Angel.
Hello, kitten.
I need some clothes.
Clothes?
Uh-oh. We're back on the other side of the ledger.
You have plenty of clothes.
But I need some I can trade. Patty Davis and I are starting a swap shop.
Swap shop? Don't you mean swap shop?
Yeah, where we trade clothes. Can I have some clothes to trade, Mommy?
Well, look around in the attic, but don't take anything good.
I'll just take some old stuff.
Betty, answer the door, will you? Probably for you anyway.
I'll get it.
Now, where were we, dear?
I've lost track. I don't know how you get anything done around here.
It isn't easy, dear.
What have you got in the... Oh, you brought it over! Mother, Mother, come here, Father!
What in the world did Janie bring over?
It can't be anything less than Perry Como.
Look, Mother, look. Here it is.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's Janie's aunt's mink coat.
Hello, Mrs. Anderson, Mr. Anderson.
Hello, Janie.
Oh, dear. Say, that's a nice-looking coat, Janie.
Nice-looking, he says. Nice-looking. Oh, feel it, Mother. Just feel it.
Jim.
I brought it over to ask you a favor, Betty. My aunt's out of town for the weekend, and she left the coat with us, and now we're all going away, and Mother doesn't want to leave the coat with nobody in the house.
That is a problem.
What you need is a coat sitter.
Well, sort of. You see, my aunt paid over $3,000 for it. Would you mind if I left it here, Mr. Anderson?
Oh, please, Father, please.
Well, it's all right with me if there's room in the closet.
Oh, you're sweet, Father.
Put it on, Mrs. Anderson.
Oh, I don't think I should.
Oh, go on, Mother. Let's see how you look in it.
Well,
here, I'll hold it for you.
Oh, Jim.
Careful, Margaret.
Oh, you look simply divine, Mother.
Isn't it terrific?
Oh, you should put this on, Jim.
Well, there's much point in it. Very few men are wearing mink coats these days.
Well, my father's waiting for me out in front. Thanks a lot for keeping the coat. We'll pick it up this afternoon.
Oh, there's no hurry, Janie.
Imagine, $3,000.
You look great in it, honey.
I can imagine with this house dress.
Turn around, Mother. Let's see it in the back. Oh, isn't it positively the most perfectly, excruciatingly, fantastically wonderful coat you've ever seen?
It's too lovely for words. Oh, real mink. I feel just like a queen.
Hey, Mom, you better come out in the kitchen. The sink's plugged up.
Well, that certainly turned my coach into a pumpkin.
What you wearing a coat in the house for?
Bud, do you know what kind of a coat that is?
Some kind of brown fur.
That's wild mink. $3,000 worth.
What?
Oh, boy, a fur coat!
Is that what it costs? $3,000?
$3,000? I gotta go tell Patty Davis.
I don't know if we should hang that in the front closet or not. That's an awful lot of money. I hope it's insured. You'd better find a place to hide it, Betty.
Well, don't worry. I'll find a place for it.
Why? Guy could make dough raising minks. I wonder how you raise wild minks.
Well, probably not easy.
I guess when the mink starts thinking how much dough they're going to get for his hide, that's what makes him wild.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. Now, Bud, your mother and I were trying to get some...
It must be a conspiracy to keep us away from these bills.
Hello. Oh, hello, Ed. Congratulations on what? Who told you that? Now, Ed, wait a minute.
What's wrong, dear?
I'm going over to Joe's.
Yeah, but Ed, I can't hear you with all that racket over there. No, I can't get away today. But I wish you'd explain what you're... All right. Goodbye.
Why the furrowed brow?
Ed Davis called me up to congratulate me.
For what?
On selling that $2 million insurance deal to the steel company. I haven't sold that policy yet, probably never will. I've been working on it for years.
Well, what made him think you'd sold it?
Search me. He had a bunch of fellows from the downtown businessmen's club over there. Wanted me to play golf with them this afternoon.
Do you suppose he was...
Ed doesn't drink. If that's Ed calling back, I'm going to... Hello? Oh, yes, she's here. Just a moment. It's for you, honey.
Oh. Hello? Yes? Oh, yes. Mrs. Wynn Sheridan. I remember.
Mrs. Wynn Sheridan?
Next Tuesday? Well, I'm terribly sorry, but I have a PTA meeting that afternoon. Why, yes, I'd love to. Well, thank you so much for calling. Goodbye.
Did you say Wynn Sheridan?
Now, how do you explain that? I met her just once a long time ago. Now she wants me to come to a bridge luncheon.
He's the biggest automobile dealer in town.
She's the social leader of Springfield. Why is she calling me all of a sudden? And so sweet on the phone. You'd think I was a member of the royal family.
Ed Davis, and now this.
Dear, there's no explanation for it, but... Oh, this seems to have started since that mink coat arrived.
You're right. Something happened. There's a difference. Things are not the same.
But why? It makes us feel like a couple of idiots.
Exactly. But one thing we do know, honey, right now we're two of the most popular idiots in town.
Two of Father Knows Best in just a moment.
Folks are always trying to think of new ways to make money multiply. It'd be nice if you could just grow your own money, yet there is a way to make money grow through United States savings bonds. When you invest in United States savings bonds, you get back $4 for every $3 you invest. And savings bonds are one of your best investments because every dollar you lend Uncle Sam helps to ensure our freedom. And freedom for your country means personal security for you. Your savings bonds are more than a dollars and cents investment. They're an investment in a way of life. Show Uncle Sam you believe in him. He'll show you his gratitude with interest. Watch your money grow with United States savings bonds.
Well, has life been a little dull around your house? Not much happening? If you want to liven things up, take a tip from the Andersons. Have a friend of yours leave a mink coat in your closet. Ever since Betty's friend Janie brought her aunt's very expensive mink coat to the Andersons for safekeeping, Margaret and Jim have been flooded with invitations and favors from people who a few hours ago were almost total strangers. How do Jim and Margaret feel about all this? Well, they don't understand it. They like it.
Oh, this is perfect, Jim. Next Friday, we're invited to the Carmichaels for dinner and the symphony afterwards.
When did that come?
Just now, while you were out in the kitchen. Messenger brought it.
Carmichael, I've met him. He owns the big music store downtown.
Dear, I'll just have to buy a new dress to wear.
Well, sure, go ahead.
Possibly a pair of slippers. My gold ones are almost worn out.
Well, okay.
I think it's simply too utterly exciting the way things are happening to you and Mother. What's the score so far?
Well, 9 invitations, 2 boxes of candy, and 1 electric rotisserie.
Where'd the rotisserie come from?
A man brought it. From the Acme Appliance Company. Insisted on leaving it for me to try out. No obligation and all that.
Well, you see, Father, life is different when you have a mink coat.
But we don't have a mink coat. We're just sitting with one. Anyway, it doesn't explain our sudden popularity.
Well, why question it?
Who's questioning it?
Gee, I wish I could think of a real good place to hide the coat. Every place I put it, I ask myself, where would I look for a mink coat if I knew one was hidden? And that's always the place.
Yes. Well...
Jim, a car just drove in the driveway.
Hmm?
Look through the window here.
Oh.
Wow, who do we know who drives a car like that?
You'd better go out and see who it is, dear.
Oh, he must have the wrong house.
Oh, I didn't know they made cars that long.
What a dream. Can't you picture yourself driving down the street in that?
One person couldn't operate it. You'd have to have a crew.
The man seems to be arguing with Father about something.
What in the world? The man's leaving, getting into another car.
Here comes Father. We'll find out what it's all about.
Jim, what in the world...
Oh, this is carrying it too far. We've got to do something about this.
What's the matter?
That's Sultan's chariot out there. Nothing I could say had the slightest effect. The fellow insisted that we take it.
Oh, no.
Really, Father?
Drive it, he said. Try it out. Keep it as long as you like. He wouldn't take no for an answer.
Who sent it out?
Somebody at the Wynn Sheridan. Wynn Sheridan.
And Mrs. Wynn Sheridan called me, remember?
Margaret, the fog is beginning to lift. I think the light is beginning to filter through.
Hey, who parked that gold-plated rocket ship in our driveway?
Wynn Sheridan belongs to the Downtown Businessmen's Club. He must have been over at Ed Davis's when Ed called to congratulate me on selling that fabulous policy that I didn't sell.
Where did that millionaire's hot rod come from?
That bunch of businessmen flashed the word around town that we had hit the jackpot, rolling in money.
But who told the businessmen?
It must have been Ed Davis.
Who told Ed Davis?
Who owns the boss?
Just listen, Bud, and you'll get the whole thing.
I've been listening, and I haven't got anything yet.
Well, no one could have told Ed that I sold that policy. He must have jumped to the conclusion from... Wait a minute. Where is Kathy?
Look no further, dear. The solution has arrived.
You call me, Daddy?
Kitten, what did you tell Mr. Davis?
I told him we had a mink coat at our house, that it cost $3,000.
Well... There you have it. That explains everything.
Did I tell something I shouldn't have, Daddy?
No, kitten. You just didn't tell quite enough. Principally that the $3,000 coat was not ours.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that.
Oh, I can't figure what you're talking about. I'm going down and see about a job.
I'll go back and tell Mr. Davis. I got some clothes to trade with Patty anyway.
Of all the silly things. What are you going to do with the car and all those things?
Oh, we'll send them all back.
Father, look out the window.
Oh, for Pete's sake, what are they bringing in now?
You'd better open the door, dear.
I tell you, there's never a dull moment with a mink coat around.
What in the world are those men carrying?
Yes?
Mr. Anderson?
Yes?
Delivery from the Carmichael Music Company.
Well, you'll have to take it back, my friend. There's been a little mistake.
You, Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
No mistake. Bring it in, boys.
But we didn't order anything from the Carmichael Music Company.
I don't know anything about the orders. We just deliver. Where do you want this?
Well, what is it?
Combination radio, television, phonograph, and barbecue. and high fidelity.
The room isn't big enough for it.
I don't make the rooms, miss. We just deliver.
Well, you can't stand there holding it.
Oh, you're so right.
You'd better put it down here in the living room.
Okay. Say, why they send a thing like this out on free trial, I'll never know. You know how much this thing cost, Mr. Anderson?
Well, no.
$1,750. That's without the charcoal.
$1,700?
You must be loaded. Goodbye.
Well, what do we do with it?
Well, what can we do with it? Hook it up. Play it. We may as well enjoy all these things. They were forced on us. If they insist that we take a free trial, okay, we'll take it.
Well, before I do anything else, I've got to find a place to put that coat.
Imagine us with a new car a block long and a $1,700 radio.
Oh, what can we do about it, honey? The things are here. We're not out anything. Let's have fun.
Oh, no, not again.
Look out the window, honey. If they're carrying something or driving something, we'll turn out the lights and hide.
No, as far as I can see, it's just a man with a briefcase.
Well, let him in. The worst we can get is a free trial and a briefcase.
Whatever it is, dear, just explain to him.
Mm. Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
Mr. Anderson?
Yes?
I'm from the tax collector's office.
Tax collector?
May I come in?
Why, yes.
Thank you. Clausen is my name. Here's my card.
Oh. Well,
I was sent out to reappraise your personal property.
Come into the living room.
Thank you.
This is, Mrs. Anderson, Mr. Clausen.
How do you do?
How do you do? Did I hear you say you were from the tax collector's office?
That is correct. Our office understands there has been, shall we say, a considerable improvement in your financial status.
Well, I'm afraid you made the trip out here for nothing, Mr. Clausen. The story about our financial improvements was just one of those rumors. No truth to it at all, absolutely none.
It all started with the silliest sort of mistake.
That car in your driveway, it's new, isn't it?
Yes,
worth, as it stands, about $6,000.
$6,000?
The tax on that would be...
No, wait. That car isn't ours. They sent it out on approval.
Well, it will be yours after you buy it. It's all the same to us.
But we're not going to buy it.
Then why did you have it sent out?
We didn't have it sent out.
Someone just drove a $6,000 car into your driveway and left it?
That's just what happened.
Mr. Anderson, you are pulling my leg.
No, I'm not. That's the truth.
I've been with the tax office for 12 years, and I've heard a lot of stories. This one isn't bad. Now, let me get my papers out here and write this down. One super deluxe 10-passenger sedan, $6,000.
But, Mr. Clausen...
Oh, quite a radio phonograph combination you have there.
Now, wait, hold on.
That's new, isn't it?
But it's not ours.
Worth about $1,600, I should say. How did you make your money, Mr. Anderson? Oil?
Look, I haven't made any money. The car and this radio, they were sent out to us. We knew nothing about it.
Well, I would like to believe that, of course.
Mr. Clausen, I'm fairly well respected in the community. I'm an honest man. I believe in being open and above board about everything.
Oh, Father, I found a wonderful place to hide the mink coat.
Hide the mink coat?
Oh, no.
Betty.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was anyone here.
Well, young lady, you spilled the beans. Now, let's quit playing games, Mr. Anderson. What do you have beside the mink coat? Any diamond necklaces?
Mr. Clausen, believe me, the mink coat is not ours.
Oh, come now, a man with your money.
Betty, this is the tax man. Tell him.
It's not our coat. We're just keeping it for a friend of mine while she's out of town.
You know, there are times when I wish I had gone into another line of work. How much did you pay for the coat?
We didn't pay for the coat.
But you do have it.
Yes.
That's all I want to know. Now, if you'll just tell me how much you have...
Don't open the door.
Well, we'd better see who it is, Father. Hi, Betty.
Janie.
Father, it's Janie.
Oh, bless that girl.
Come on in quick.
What's the matter?
The tax collector's here.
Janie, this is Mr. Clausen from the tax office. Will you please tell him?
I'll go get the coat.
Does this mink coat we're talking about belong to you, young lady?
No, it belongs to my aunt. I'm Janie Liggett. If you come over to our house, my father will tell you.
Here it is.
Well, thanks a lot for keeping it for us, Mr. Anderson. Well, Dad's waiting. I gotta run. Bye. Bye.
Well, Mr. Clausen, are you convinced?
On the coat, yes, but the car and the radio...
It all started with the coat. Our small daughter told the neighbors we had a $3,000 mink coat. And the word spread that Mr. Anderson had sold a big insurance policy.
We were the most popular people in town.
Oh, I think I understand now. I have a small daughter myself.
You see, we're not rich, Mr. Clausen. In fact, sometimes it's hard to make the money stretch.
Oh, I know just how it is.
Just this morning, Mrs. Anderson and I were going over the bills. We're so far away from owning a car like that one out there, or this expensive radio.
Oh, money doesn't go as far as it used to.
Hey, Dad, Mom, I got a job. Now I can buy my lunch at school.
What?
Bud, you'd better explain that.
Hey, Mommy, I've been over at the swap shop. I got me some real good clothes. Hardly any holes at all.
Now, wait a minute, Kathy.
Oh, Mr. Anderson.
What?
Lunches. Old clothes. I have kids of my own, you know. Here, let me give you $5 to tide you over.
It's not as bad as it looks, Mr. Clausen. You keep the five. Someday you may want to buy your wife a mink coat. The Andersons will be back in just a moment.
Friday evening brings more wonderful entertainment on the NBC Radio Network when Bob Hope presents his fun-filled show for your listening pleasure. Tomorrow evening, you'll hear Bob's guest star, Virginia Mayo, in an hilarious takeoff on a dramatic situation. Be sure to listen. And then stay tuned for music and mirth on the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. It's a laugh riot from beginning to end when Phil teams with Elliot Lewis for another session of zany antics and hilarious situations. You'll hear songs by Phil and Alice Faye, too, for a really enjoyable half hour of stellar entertainment. Make NBC Radio your entertainment headquarters tomorrow night. Just set your dial to this station for the finest of all radio listening.
Well, it's the end of a busy Saturday at the White Frame House on Maple Street. The mink coat has gone back to its owner and quiet again settles on the Anderson family. Children are in bed. Margaret and Jim are having their quiet talk.
What a day.
Oh, it was a lively one.
I never want to hear another telephone or another doorbell.
I'm glad you sent the car and the radio back this evening. Seems like we're back to normal now.
You know, I'm glad you're not crazy about mink coats.
Oh, but I am.
What?
In fact, Wilson's department store is having a sale on mink tomorrow. I'm going down.
Well, what are you going to buy?
Some kitchen curtains.
You're a smart girl.
I'm not so sure if I am or not.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson. Father Knows Best is an NBC Radio Network production in cooperation with Cavalier Enterprises. In our cast were Helen Strom as Kathy, Gene Vanderpile, Rhoda Williams, Ted Donaldson, Mary Lee Robb, and Parley Bear. Father Knows Best, based on characters created by Ed James, is written by Paul West and Roswell Rogers, directed by Arthur Jacobson, and transcribed in Hollywood. This is Bill Forman speaking.
That's Father Knows Best, The Mink Coat Woes from 1954. Here's a little something with Ed Gardner and Frank Sinatra.
And as all of you know, we maintain a high standard of dignity on command performance, so it isn't a bit surprising that one of America's most famous minds, along with its body, is here tonight. This gentleman is in Hollywood following a season of teaching philosophy at Harvard, engineering at MIT, and bartending at Duffy's Tavern. Fellows, Command Performance proudly presents one of radio's best love personalities and head character in charge of the Mickey Finn department in Duffy's Tavern, Ed Archie Gardner.
Thank you, Miss Bryden.
Well, Archie, what have you been doing with yourself out here in Hollywood? Have you seen any of the sights?
Oh, yeah, I've seen a couple of them. Santa Monica, you know. Schwab's Drugstore. Most of the hot spots. I like that Grauman's Chinese restaurant.
No, that's Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Oh, no wonder I couldn't get a table. Yeah, I like them autographs in the cement.
Oh, you mean the footprints?
Yeah, handprints, footprints. They got Betty Grable's leg print. Lana Turner's represented, too. Yeah. Of course, the knitting don't come through so good in the cement. And while I'm out here, I'm also looking for some new talent for Duffy's in the fall, too.
Well, you've come to the right place. There's plenty of talent in Hollywood, don't you think?
Oh, after an old fashioned, yes. tell me, what do you know about this Frank Sinatra?
Well, I think he's a wonderful singer. Say, there he is over there.
Where?
Over there.
Hmm. That, piccolo with the bow tie? introduce me anyways, will you?
All right. Frankie.
Yes, Ginger.
Archie here would like to talk business with you. Archie, this is Frankie. Frankie, this is Archie.
I'm charmed.
Likewise. Likewise, I'm sure, Archie.
Gentlemen, you are on your own.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah, Archie.
Hey, you ever been out with this Rogers tomato?
Why?
Well, I was wondering, how is she?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. How is she? You know,
I don't know what you mean.
Sinatra, can she dance?
Well, I don't know much about dancing. I'm a singer.
You what?
I'm a vocalist.
Oh, well, that's better. Yeah. We gotta have class at Duffy's, sir.
Just a second. You are offering Sinatra a job in a tavern?
That's the point. This is a tavern, not a saloon. Yes, sir. Frank, you will be singing to bankers, statesmen, diplomats. Just the other night, we had the First Lady.
The First Lady of the land?
No, the First Lady to have 8 straight beers and not wind up under the table. And Duffy will be happy to have you too, Frank, you know. He is always wanted a quartet in the joint.
A quartet?
Yeah, you and them 3 dames that faint every time you open your mouth. There's one other thing, Sinatra.
What?
You're a kid with a pretty good voice. You don't look too bad. No, you dress all right, but there's one phase of your career that has been completely overlooked.
What's that, Arch?
No publicity.
Publicity, huh? Say, I could use a little of that.
Yeah, now, you see, in our place, we'll put you on a sign, see?
What sign?
Big sign. Pig's feet, Sinatra, and smelling salt, 30 cents. And once it gets around, you're at Duffy's, even the dames will start flocking to see you, too.
Yeah. What about the moolah?
The moolah, all you can eat.
No, I mean the money.
Oh, the money. Stand back, Sinatra. We will pay you 10 cold clams per week.
$10 a week?
Does that knock you over with a feather?
Well, what about the withholding tax?
Don't worry about it. Possible Duffy will withhold the entire sum.
But, Archie, only $10 a week.
Well, who do you think you are, Skinny Ennis? We can get Crosby for 12. There's one other thing. You see, if you work at the joint, you'll have a good chance of meeting Miss Duffy, the daughter of the establishment.
Who is she?
She is as sweet a flower as has ever bloomed on 10th Avenue.
You mean she's pretty?
Like a spun gossamer.
Yeah, I know, but how's she built?
How's she built? Well, you know that magazine ad where's the beautiful dame holding a bottle of hand lotion and it says she's engaged. She's charming. She's lovely.
Yes?
Her stuff, he's built like the bottle.
Well, that's for me, Arch. That's for me. I'll take the job.
You'll take the job. Okay. Well, there's only one thing, Sinatra. We may have to change your style.
Well, what's the matter with my style?
Well, you're a little quiet, you know. I don't think you'd ever drown out the jukebox.
Well, couldn't you tone the jukebox down a little?
What, after a guy's put a nickel in it, you want to start a riot? No, Sinatra, you see, at Duffy's, it's the bellow of the buffalo that pays off, not the belch of the hummingbird.
Thank you, Ed Gardner. I can see the marquee at Duffy's Tavern. Archie presents the biggest glass of beer in New York for a dime and Frankie Sinatra.
Now for our final show today, it's Have Gun, Will Travel, Landfall, from 1959.
You won't stop me from getting these logs through. My gun is pointed at your man's head. Now put your rifle down, or he'll be a long time dead.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Yes, who is it?
It's Hey Boy.
Well, come in, Hey Boy.
No, can't open door, Mr. Paladin. Arm is full.
All right. Wait a minute.
Oh. See, Mr. Paladin?
Good heavens, what's all that you're carrying?
Baseball things. You remember you said you teach Hey Boy how to play baseball? Hey, can bring stuff in? Set down?
Well, yes, of course.
Yes, it's a great heavy mess learning to play baseball.
What on earth are all those things supposed to be, Hey Boy?
Bats.
Bats?
What you think, Mr. Paladin?
Well, it looks like you brought every kind of stick you could find.
Oh, you saw. Wide ones, skinny ones, fat ones. Hey, boy, have many bats for players to choose from.
Oh, I see.
You saw. Shall we get started, Mr. Paladin? Hey, boy, I want to tell all members of Chinese Imperial Dragon Club about your baseball. You take your bat now?
No, not now. Hey, boy, I've got to finish packing.
Oh, you leave today?
Well, yes, I thought you knew.
Oh, to see Macy Mitchell in Washington Territory?
That's right.
Oh, Hey Boy, think you leave tomorrow.
Well, you've been so busy buying up all that baseball equipment, you've lost track of the days. You want to help me finish packing?
Yes, sir. So sorry, Hey Boy forgot.
There'll be plenty of time for your baseball lessons when I get back. You'll have all winter to practice.
Oh, you think Imperial Dragon Club have good team by springtime?
If they're as interested as you are, it should be one of the best teams in San Francisco.
Oh, very good. This make our hey boy very important man in club.
Tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston gives you real flavor, full rich tobacco flavor. Winston's easy drawing too. The flavor comes right through to you. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
A modern filter? Sure, Winston has it. But that's only the beginning of a Winston. Up front, up where it really counts, Winston packs exclusive filter blend. Light, flavorful tobaccos, specially selected and specially processed for filter smoking. Filter blend. That's why it's fun to smoke Winston, America's best-selling filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Elizabeth Mitchell had been in San Francisco attending a finishing school for young ladies when we met. We attended many parties together for a period of months. Then, during one of my absences, she left with no indication as to where she was going. Now, 6 months later, I had received a telegram from her saying that she was the owner of a logging camp near Palmer Junction in Washington Territory and that she needed me. I took a steamer to Seattle and there rented a horse for the ride into the Green River section of the Cascade Mountains. There was snow on the ground, and the air was strangely still as I rode through the tall, timbered mountain country.
All right, you've come far enough. Just stop where you are, mister.
All right.
Get down off your horse. You're a stranger in these mountains, ain't you?
You always shoot at strangers?
Nobody passes here. This is Mr. Hoffman's camp.
Well, look, I mean no harm to Mr. Hoffman. I was looking for the logging camp. It belongs to Miss Mitchell.
Mitchell? And you turn around and go back where you came.
I've come too far for that.
Axel, what's going on there?
Stranger, Mr. Hoffman. He says he's going to that Mitchell.
Joel, give me that rifle. All right, now. Now, shall we find out what this is all about?
I've got you covered, mister.
Dan, my pistol is pointed at your man's head. Put your rifle down or he's dead.
No.
The rifle. Put it down.
All right. Who are you?
Makes no difference who I am. I told this man I was going to Miss Mitchell's camp, and that's where I'm going.
No one is allowed to cross my land to get there.
Then I'll go around.
No, you won't. I own all the land surrounding our camp.
All right. In that case, I'm going through. And Axel here will guide me.
No.
I think you will. Get up.
Now, Mr. Hoffman.
On your feet.
What he says, Axel. Mister, if you come to help her get those logs through, you're wasting your time. I'll stop you every way there is.
All I know is I've come because a lady called me. Now get out of my way.
Constipation is something people don't talk about much, but it can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say.
A laxative should be effective, gentle, as close to natural acting as possible, and a medicine that can be used with complete confidence.
Now, X-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because pleasant-tasting chocolated X-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. X-Lax is gentle. Next morning, it gives you the closest thing to natural action. And that's why many doctors and millions of people use X-Lax with complete confidence. X-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight. Is X-Lax in your medicine cabinet?
Under the circumstances, the man called Axel was only too happy to direct me to Elizabeth's logging camp. and then depart from my company. It was a typical camp with a sturdy main cabin, a cook shack, several other buildings for the work gang, and the tool sheds. But something was wrong. There were no men working, and felled logs lay scattered about on the ground. They should have been in stacks for the trip to the mills. I dismounted and walked toward the cabin.
Paladin!
Hey!
Paladin!
Elizabeth!
Is it really you?
Oh,
I'm so glad to
Elizabeth,
see you.
Elizabeth, it's good to see you too. Now here, let me just have a look at you.
I've changed, haven't I?
Oh, well, you're just as beautiful as ever, but I never expected to see you in these surroundings.
Well, this camp belonged to my father. He left it to me when he died 6 months ago.
Is that why you left San Francisco so suddenly?
Yes. Come on inside where it's warm. Oh, Paladin, I knew you'd come.
Well, you know, if your neighbor had his way, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, then you met Mr. Hoffman.
Oh, yes. And the giant, what's his name, Axel?
Axel Grundle.
Yeah.
Hoffman's woods boss. Sit down at the table and I'll pour you some coffee.
Good, I could use some. Elizabeth, why did he try to stop me?
Mr. Hoffman is the reason I sent for you. I need a man like you who knows his way around a gun. Here you are.
Thank you.
You see, after Father died, Hoffman bought up all the land that surrounds mine, and he won't let me cross his property to take my logs to the mill.
I see. Well, how many men do you have in your crew, Elizabeth?
My crew quit when they heard Hoffman had hired Axel. That man is a devil himself, and he'll make killers out of every one of Hoffman's men. My men were simply afraid, that's all. Max, my woods boss, is still with me. And then there's Jeff. He was a very good friend of Father's, and now you.
Well, we ought to hire some good men to work for you.
No. Until I get paid for the logs on the ground, I can't afford any men. There's money owed on this land as it is. And if I default on the payments, Hoffman gets it.
Well, how's that?
He bought the bank stock.
Ooh. He's kept himself busy, hasn't he? That noon, Elizabeth fixed lunch for us, and I met Jeff and Max for the first time. It was apparent that these two men had a deep respect for Elizabeth's father and had now transferred that devotion to his daughter. They had been trying to do everything they could to stop Hoffman from taking over the land, but they admitted that it was almost impossible. After lunch, Max showed me around the camp. Well, Max, what about Hoffman's woods boss? What kind of a man is he?
Axel?
Yeah.
Oh, shucks, he ain't no woodsman. He's a sailor, worked out of Seattle. He's a crack shot with a rifle, though, I know that. He started taking pot shots at the boys while they were working. Scared them all off that way.
Uh-huh. Then he's strictly Hoffman's strong-arm man, is that it?
Yeah. And that's why I brung you out to my shed here. There, come on in. Got something to show you. It's a kid under my bunk.
Max, I'm more interested in seeing what equipment you've got for stacking those logs.
First things first, Paladin. Yeah, here she is.
Well, would you look at that. An old Jennings rifle.
Ain't she a beauty?
Yeah.
Still shoots, too. I figured you'd be all for going after Hoffman's gang with guns blazing, so I've been loading shells for it.
Max, I'm not here to kill people. The job to be done is to get those logs to the mills.
Can't be done, Paladin. We got no men. Even if we could stack them logs, there's no way to get them through. There's too much snow. No roads out, no engine, no team, nothing. Nothing but my old Jennings and that gun of yours.
Maybe there is a way to get the logs out.
How? Ain't a man here can top a spar tree. I can't climb no more, and Jeff don't know how.
Well, tell me, Max, how much equipment do you have for moving the logs?
All of it. But that ain't the problem. We could move this whole mountain of trees, but not without a high rigger.
Maybe I can do it, Max.
You? Oh, you ain't no woodsman.
I think I can trim a spar tree.
Somehow I doubt that. But even if you can, how are we going to get them logs to the mill?
Max, how long has the air been still like this?
What kind of a question is that?
The air. It's standing still. It's strange. How long?
Oh, 10-12 days. Why?
I'm not sure. I was just thinking about something an old Indian chief told me one time.
What was that?
Well, I'd rather not say right now. Maybe he was wrong.
Even if you've had embarrassing dandruff for years, you can get rid of it now in 3 minutes. That's all it takes with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Yes, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes with Fitch, quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. What's more, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Just apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. At the same time, gentle Fitch can leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too. Use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
Look out below.
Miss Elizabeth, I never seen nothing like it. You told me that man was a gunman.
Only if he has to, Max. Mr. Paladin's a good man to have around.
He sure is, ma'am. There's only one thing.
What's that?
I don't agree with where he picked that spar tree.
Why?
Why, it's too close to that old dry riverbed. If we're going to stack logs, let him get closer to the road where we can get a team up here come springtime and get him out.
Springtime's too late, Max. It's now or never.
All right, Max, done. Send up that block and ropes, and we'll stack the logs.
What's the use of it?
Do what he says, Max.
Come on, Max. Move.
It wasn't easy to get Max to agree to stack the logs where I wanted them, but finally the job was done. Now it was just a question of wait and hope. This went on for a week. Max and Jeff were getting edgy. It was all Elizabeth and I could do to keep Max from trotting down to Hoffman's place with his old Jennings rifle. But finally it came, what I had been waiting for. A Chinook wind. It comes, some people say, out of an old Indian's dreams. Others say it's the devil's breath on a particularly bad day. All I know is it came in dry and hot, and it lasted for 2 days.
Doggone it, Paladin, you was right. A Chinook wind, it's working. That snow's melting like it was summertime.
Look at that water come down.
Paladin!
Oh, that's Jeff.
Where'd he been anyway?
I sent him down the riverbed.
You were right, Paladin. Hoffman's onto our plan. He got Axel and his men building a log jam down below. According to law, he can claim every log that floats down there and stops on his property.
Concern him, Paladin. Let's go down there and shoot them all dead.
Max, if you don't settle down...
Paladin, you can't stop the logs from going now. The water's rising so fast, they'll be starting.
Wait a minute. Max, how much black powder do you have?
Enough to blow this mountain up. We use it for blasting out tree stumps.
Good.
What are you going to do?
Jeff, do you know how to use a pike?
Sure do.
All right, then. Now, you make a skid jam here. And when you hear a shot fired from down below, start the logs down. Will you do it?
You bet I will.
All right, come on, Max. Let's get that black powder.
Higginbotham here. We will now commence our lesson in stereophonic reproduction. Listen to the call of the spotted billsnicker on ordinary stereo. Now then, on a Columbia Stereo 1 phonograph. Obvious difference, what? The Columbia stereophonic system really causes all others to blush. For it is not composed of just a few separated speakers. Columbia is the originator and exclusive purveyor of stereo projection. Only Columbia fills every inch of a room with real, lifelike sound. Now, when I was birdwatching with the Duchess of... But let that pass. You simply must hear the Stereo One phonograph by Columbia. Ask your Columbia phonograph dealer for a demonstration. And, chaps, portables are priced as low as $39.95. Consoles commence at $129.95. Blast that bird.
¶¶
they are, Paladin, sure enough.
Yeah.
Lay those timbers where they'll count the most.
Look, that axle's right in the middle where we got to plant this powder. How are we going to move him? I know. I'll shoot him from here.
No. If they hear the shot, they'd start the logs from up above. Now, listen carefully.
Yes, Paladin?
Max, I'll draw Axel off the jam they've built. Now, while I'm busy with him, you plant the black powder out there. Can you do it?
Bet I'll do it. Right smack in the center, all them logs that got stacked up.
That's right. Then get off the log jam in a hurry. I'll throw a shot at it and blow it up.
All right, Paladin. Good luck to us.
Right.
Hey, you. You, Axel.
Call my name.
I did.
You. What do you want?
I come to fight you. I hear you were the toughest man ever to go to sea.
You scum. I'll fight you. This time without a pistol at my head. I'll kill you. I'll break you in two.
Oh, no, you won't, my friend.
Come on, Axel. Use your gun.
My bare hands. I'll kill this man.
Get out of the way, Axel. I'll shoot him.
My bare hands. I will. You.
Lord, I killed him.
Yeah. You killed your own man.
I didn't. I never meant this to go so far. It was a mistake. Will they hold me for murder?
Yes, I suppose they will. Even Axel had a right to live.
Paladin, that shot. You started the logs.
All right, get off the jam, Max.
Can you see where I put the powder?
Yes, I can see it, but get out of the way.
Paladin, here comes the log. Shoot, shoot quick.
All right, Max. There they go.
You made it, Paladin. You made it. Look at them logs go through.
Hey, boy, sit down.
Oh, why sit down? Want to learn baseball?
Sit down.
Well, you saw, but, hey, boy, figure to take many bats, balls, bird's cage, run around very much and learn that way, not sit in a stuffy room.
Hey, boy, if I'm going to teach you, we're going to start at the beginning.
Ooh.
Now, come in.
Here is tea,
you order, Mr. Oh, yes, bring it in. Just set it down, Miss Wong. Now, hey, boy, here's how the whole
Hello,
thing...
Hello, hey, boy. What you doing here?
Learning to play baseball.
Why?
Maybe get to be president of Imperial Dragon Club.
Oh.
Miss Wong.
Saigona.
Now, hey, boy, listen to this.
Yes, sir.
Baseball is played by two teams.
We're not going to make it.
Oh, brother. This miserable cold and my sinuses.
Haven't you heard about Dristan? Dristan decongestant tablets not only help drain all 8 sinus cavities, critical areas of cold's infection, but circulating through the blood, Dristan reaches all congested areas. In one fast-acting, uncoated, 3-layer tablet, Dristan, for the first time, combines
a decongestant to shrink all swollen membranes, relieve pressure and pain.
An exclusive anti-allergent to help keep breathing passages dry and clear.
Pain relievers to ease body aches, reduce fever.
Vitamin C to help build body resistance. This is Dristan. Today, Dristan is widely imitated, but the exclusive Dristan formula cannot be duplicated. For real relief from colds, misery, and sinus congestion, there is nothing, nothing like Dristan decongestant tablets.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hey Boy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Tom Hanley. Featured in the cast were Barney Phillips, Lou Krugman, Ralph Moody, and Virginia Christine. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.